Never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Blustery, actually. And we broadcast live every weeknight. That's from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time every Monday through Friday, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Folks, that's the place to be. Global Star Radio Network. Tune us in there. We're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, and you can also catch us live and by archive on our YouTube channel. Links to each audio and video are located right on our website at HagmanandHagman.com. Also, don't forget, we've got HagmanReport.com. There is the news analysis, news that's really show prep for every show, HagmanReport.com. Go there and bookmark that site as well, HagmanReport.com. And, of course, our show page is HagmanandHagman.com. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm. With fellow investigator and researcher Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. And I just want to tell you that we dig deep into topics that the mass media will never do. We got a lot of stuff to get into tonight. I got to tell you, there's so many things happening. Of course, we've got the primaries. You know, it seems like this year... It seems like this year is not going to be like any other year. And we had the primaries, or the conventions are scheduled. Of course, Cleveland for the Republican convention in the summer, and Democratic convention as well. But talk of contested conventions in both the Republican and Democratic venues. However, the head of the RNC, Priebus, had said, no, you know what, folks, the voters don't elect or select the nominees. We do. The party does. And that's, I think that's a shot across the bow to Trump. Regardless of what you think of Trump, it seems to be a shot across the bow. Folks, portions of this broadcast brought to you by WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com with a W. If you haven't gone there yet, do so. Download some free samples. WholeTonesLive.com. That's W-H-O-L-E. WholeTonesLive.com. Getting many, many email responses saying what a great product that is. Joe, let's get started. We got a lot to get into as the program unfolds. News analysis first 2 hours. Standale, hour three.
Yeah, we do. And we have, like you said, a whole lot to get into tonight. And throughout the rest of the week, tomorrow's open phone line Wednesdays, which we will have your calls.
Deference to first-time callers. I mean, yeah. You know, but we would like that.
This is something we started last week, which we're going to continue to do each and every week as we have are going to take our Wednesdays and leave them open for you guys
Wild
to call
Wednesdays.
In about any issue, topic, concern you might have. We're going to continue to do this throughout the rest of the month and throughout the rest of the year, if all goes well. Thursday, we're going to be joined by Bill Salas, He is the author of a new book, Prophecy Now. He's been a guest on the show several times in the past. I believe I have his book right here with me. It's a book and DVD. I'll look for it later. But he will be with us on Thursday to talk about his latest book. And then Friday, we have Steve Quill coming on.
And no. Ted Brewer on Friday, and then Steve
Friday.
Quill. Yes. Steve, Ted Brewer Friday. Steve Quill Monday. And the show Monday is going to be a very special show. So, with Steve Quill, he's going to have a couple of different guests on Monday. But yes, Ted Brewer this Friday.
Did you do this? Talking about,
no. It's, look at the schedule. Look at the schedule.
It still says there. Steve Quill.
No, it doesn't. What month are you talking?
April.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Let's see.
Yeah, see, he's going to check my work now.
Unless you just changed
it. No, I didn't. I didn't just change it. So, yeah, so Wild Wednesday tomorrow. Again, the deference will be made to the first-time callers or we will give first-time callers a chance. And we ask that you kind of limit yourself down to, down to topic stuff. That's the wrong color. You have an outdated schedule. I don't know what you're doing. That's an outdated schedule.
And then we have Ted Brewer, and then Ted Brewer on the 15th, and then the 23rd.
No.
Okay,
hang
we'll
on
fix
a second.
It. We'll fix it.
Well, that's not even the right. No.
April 8th.
Okay, that's not the latest one. Folks, you know, give me the Nerf bat. Where's the Nerf bat? All right. Seriously.
Well, if that's not the latest one.
No.
All right.
Technology. I thought I was bad at technology. Well, I guess I'm not the only one, right? So.
I'm really bad.
Eric the Texas, yeah. Eric, I'm really bad. I don't think so.
Even on the updated one. Let's see.
No. Apparently we can't rely on, apparently we must not rely on the electronics because, we have to write things down. I'm the old fashioned kind. I'm an old fashioned guy. I write stuff down. I still have a day planner. That's what this is. It's a day planner. See? And I don't trust digital stuff. I really don't, because it just gets to the point where you just don't, you can't keep track of things.
And maybe it wasn't your mistake. Maybe it's a document mistake, but the latest update to the schedule, which you sent.
Should be
just
very recent, like
just
like
a
hours
few minutes
ago.
Yeah, that still says Steve on Friday, so we'll fix that after the show.
Yeah, I gotta check this out, folks. I really have to check that out. Anyway, so here's the deal. Just so you're not too confused, we've got open lines tomorrow, Wild Wednesday tomorrow, Thursday, we've got Bill Salas talking about his new book, and then Friday, Ted Brewer, Monday, Steve Quayle, Tuesday, next, Stan Dale, and again, Wednesday, open lines, and Thursday, we have Dave Hodges coming on. That's a week from this Thursday. And that's kind of cool. So it's going to be a good lineup here. But let's get into some news, because we do have some things to talk about, don't we? And again, I do believe as we look at the conventions and coming up, and as we look at the landscape of what we're seeing here, we're not going to. I believe that this year will be unlike any other year. And I think if Rince Priebus decides to pull a fast one, and that is to put in his own man, their own man, the Republican Party's own man in on the Republican side, you're going to see some really heavy duty backlash. Now, who would he put in? He could put anyone in. Okay, seriously, he could put anyone in. If you look at how the rules are, a reporter questioned him today, or this within the last 24, 48 hours, whether or not they were going to use the rules from the 2012 election. And he said, well, you know, he kind of hemmed and hawed and was irritated by that question, of all things. Meaning to say, when you look at this, the analysis of this is we just might do what we want to do this year in this election. We're going to do what's best for the party. And by the party, we're talking about the Republican establishment party. So if you vote, you know, straight Republican and not your heart, not your mind, then, oh, he's your guy. And also, we're going to be talking tonight about the powerful force that is behind the Panama Papers. If you haven't heard about that, Panama Papers, what are those? Well, There's a huge, and I mean a huge, leak of confidential documents that stem from 1977 to the present, basically, about they're associated with this law firm, a Panama-based law firm, Mossack Fonseca. That's the name of the law firm. And let me tell you, ooh boy, you're going to see some sparks. I mean, this is a story that is in the works. We'll be talking about that. We're going to be talking about other contemporaneous issues, including, let me just, I just want to make sure. Yeah. Cruz. Everyone's all and up in arms about Cruz and saying, oh, he's on the Madam's list, right? Does it really matter? Because here's my question. How in the world is it possible that you've got Ted Cruz, people saying, oh, if he is on that list, on that DC Madam's list, oh, shame on him. But everyone's shying away from the fact that he's constitutionally ineligible to be president. And I know I'm going to anger a lot of people by saying that. But the bottom line is he is constitutionally ineligible under Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States. He cannot be president. And you know what? Here's the other thing, too. Not one of these candidates, including Trump, including Cruz, have come out and said, you know, if I am president, I'm going to execute my authority as chief executive of the United States, and I'm going to shut down all of these charnel infanticide houses that are known as Planned Parenthood. Any person in the Oval Office, in my view, has the moral and spiritual authority and mandate to shut down Planned Parenthood in any abortion house in across America. Now, conversely, if you want to take it to a different route, certainly the federal government cannot force them or should not facilitate their operation in the form of handouts. And I say handouts, I'm talking about the financial support. Yeah, but that's exactly what we're doing. So, but neither Cruz nor Trump nor Hillary Clinton, the abortion maiden herself, wants to touch this subject. And so the most defenseless of all of us, let's kill them. And that's the thing. We are being bookended, folks, by these politicians that we put our earthly faith in, right? And earthly fate in, and faith, both. We're being bookended by, death on the early side, with the unborn, and death on the elderly side, more like, you know, let's hurry up and get these older people out of here, because we don't want them sucking up our resources. So if you're old, God help you. And if you're, an infant, God help you. Because apparently the governors, the sheriffs, and certainly the presidential candidates won't help you. And they could, but they won't. Before moving on, I just want to thank everyone for, I mentioned yesterday too, and then I'm going to kick it to Joe here. I mentioned yesterday that I had got a shipment of a book, of my book, and Stained by Blood, and it was unexpected. It's a big story about how I got the shipment in. I still do have some left, and I'd be more than happy to personalize the books and send them out to anyone who wants them for the price of the book. If you go to stainedbyblood.com and just look on the right hand side, you can get the copy of the book, including tax and shipping, including the full boat out the door for $20. So that's just go to stainedbyblood.com. Now, if you prefer, you can order from Amazon, and thank you so much. And the other thing, too, if you like the book, or if you didn't like the book, or if you want to say something about the book, certainly any honest review on Amazon would be appreciated. So there you have it. I've got a limited number of books here in my office or in the studio for you can, if you want them personalized, I can sign them and send them off to you right away. Just go to stainedbyblood.com, look on the top right-hand side, and you get the drill. Or Amazon. Amazon's good. And if you've read it and want to comment on it with an honest review, then certainly put it on Amazon. And there you have it. So, all right, I'm going to kick it over to Joe. What are we going to start off with in this array of headlines and morass? And everyone's looking at Wisconsin with respect to their... Wisconsin, though. And will Cruz survive Wisconsin? Yeah, I think that's a wrong question, but okay.
So, well, you mentioned Hillary Clinton and and the abortion issue. Hillary Clinton's unborn person comments anger both pro-choice and pro-life sides. She gave a speech recently here. Democratic primary frontrunner Hillary Clinton ran afoul of both pro-life and pro-choice sides of the abortion debate Sunday when she said constitutional rights do not apply to the unborn person or child.
I actually have a transcript. I'm going to run into the office and grab that. I have a transcript from that, and I got some comments on that. Go ahead. I didn't bring it out with me.
She goes on to say that an unborn person does not have constitutional rights, Ms. Clinton said on NBC's Meet the Press, and continued on here. Let me get rid of this pop-up ad. As these pop-up ads are becoming more prevalent, I more frequently find myself wanting to throw my computer out into the street. But here we go. The unborn person does not have constitutional rights, Mrs. Clinton said on NBC's Meet the Press. Now, that doesn't mean that we do not do everything we possibly can in the vast majority of instances to, you know, help a mother who is carrying a child and wants to make sure the child will be healthy to have appropriate medical support. She goes on to say, also, there's room for reasonable kinds of restrictions on abortion during the third trimester of pregnancy. Diana Arianello, manager of community engagement for Planned Parenthood Illinois Action, said Sunday that Ms. Clinton's comments undermine the cause for abortion rights. The comment further stigmatizes abortion, Ms. Arianello said in a tweet. She calls a fetus an unborn child and calls for a latter term restriction. Describing the fetus as a person or child has long been anathema to the pro-choice movement, which argues the terms misleadingly imply a sense of humanity. In addition to the specific term, person is a legal conception that includes rights that statuses that the legal system or law protects, including protection of a person's life under the laws against homicide. Pro-choice intellects have long said that even if an unborn child is a life, it is not yet a person. Guidelines issued by the International Planned Parenthood Federation discourage pro-choice advocates from using the term such as abort a child, instead recommending a more accurate and appropriate alternative such as end a pregnancy or have an abortion. Abort a child is medically inaccurate, as the fetus is not yet a child, the guide reads. Terminate a pregnancy is commonly used. However, some people prefer to avoid this as terminate and may have negative consequences for some people. Anyway, it goes on to say, the exchange with NBC's Chuck Todd on Sunday came after Ms. Clinton blasted Republican frontrunner Donald Trump for saying that women should face some form of punishment for having illegal abortions. He later reversed his statement multiple times after an outcry from both pro-life and pro-choice groups. Now, I don't have any problem with what Trump said. If you have an illegal abortion...
He walked his comments back, by the way.
If you have an illegal abortion, you should be punished. I'd take my opinion further and say that abortions are illegal to begin with. So you should be punished anyway. But he wasn't even saying that. He was saying that illegal abortion should be punished.
Well, and we said this before, the leading cause of death in America is not what you're being told. The leading cause of death in America is infanticide. And that's in this.
Infanticide is killing a child after it's been born.
Well, okay. Then let me include the deaths coming from the. If you believe that life begins at conception, as I do, then you have to look at the stats from the AMA to include anyone, any abortion. And, you know, if a woman is pregnant and her husband shoots her through the gut and kills her, how many, in all states, how many murders does that husband get charged with? One? No. Two. Why? Because they're both lives. Now, there's prosecutorial discretion, but they're both lives. If you look at the congressional records, Roe v. Wade, very simply, where everyone hangs their hat on Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court found some power in the Constitution that does not exist. It clearly does not exist. Now, you, people might say, well, why in the world are you so adamant about abortion? I am adamant about abortion and homosexual sodomite marriage together. Because let me tell you something. The United States, as I believe, at one time we served as a barrier against the spread of the doctrine of the globalists, which has always been decentralized. Their doctrine, their agenda has always been decentralized powers to power under this tyrannical infrastructure led by a criminal cabal of communists, right? That's what I believe. To accomplish their objectives of a global system of governance. And the end days, that's what they are going to do and are doing. And in order to do that, America must be overthrown. And as the expanse of our nation, if you look at it, if you fly over it, you look at the, we are protected by two oceans and by just a massive amount. Well, we're protected. So a military invasion, normal military invasion, not a fifth column type offensive thing, but it would be unwise. Japan knew that too. Back in World War II. So how would they do it? They have to overthrow us from within. So how do they overthrow us from within? They get people like Sanders. They get people like Hillary Clinton. They get people like Barack Hussein Obama the second, where we can't even agree on his legal name. At least those people in the know can't agree on his legal name because his legal name is Barry Satoru. He's never changed it. And you get people who are antithetical or in disagreement of the Constitution, and you get them to hate. Get them to hate America, and that's exactly what they're doing. So since the days of Nimrod, it's always been the goal of the globalists to create this one-world government, to enslave the unwitting and the compliant here in this country, to enslave the masses under the oppression of a central system of governance while eliminating the dissenters and while eliminating the young and the old and the infirm by any means necessary. And part of that means, folks, is through abortion. And then what you do is you take down the culture and the moral and spiritual fabric of the country, of this country, is exactly what Obama did and has been doing, and is exactly what the Republican Congress and all of these idiots in Congress have allowed to happen. And this is exactly what the establishment Republicans under Rentz Priebus and every other Nimrodic basic leader of the global establishment Republicans and the suntan guy, who is that? Boehner, John Boehner. That's exactly what he allowed to have happen. And every Republican in name only has not done their job. And then throw on top of that the pastors, the ministers who have said, look, can't we just all get along, throwing coexist bumper stickers on their cars and saying, we really can't talk about this because why? Well, we don't want to offend anybody. You know what? As I said before, this country is not suffering from an intolerance problem. We are suffering from a tolerance problem. How many times do we have to say that? We tolerate evil. How many times have you said, or have people said, tolerate, well, you know what? You know what? He's the lesser of two evils. Isn't it still evil? Of course it is. Of course it is. And we're going to tolerate that? No. We must not tolerate evil in any form. And to allow our candidates a pass on abortion or sodomite marriage just in the name of tolerance and peaceful coexistence to me is a sin. And these people should be taken, and you should ask them, what is your exact position on abortion? Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton, you know, will cave because she's the winner of the Margaret Sanger Award. Now, who in the heck's Margaret Sanger? She's one of the biggest eugenicist genocidal maniacs that ever lived, the founder of Planned Parenthood. And she was following in the footsteps of Madame Colente. And who's that? Well, read about her. She hip-hopped across the United States, all across Europe, too, preaching the doctrine of abortion and such. So the bottom line is this. When we were guided and governed by the moral and spiritual Judeo-Christian values upon which this country was first founded at Plymouth Rock, and you can argue all day long about the founding fathers, about how they were Masons and such. I get that. We get that. The problem is this. Our country enjoyed strength. We enjoyed unity. We were protected. We had the hand of God over this country. God was protecting and preserving our values and freedoms. However, this was never a passive process. Do you understand that? Passivity and freedom do not go together. So, what happened? You had the infiltration by the communists working for the global governance in the 50s. You had an attacks on spirituality in the Bible and prayer in schools in the 60s. You had the counterculture, which is why we talk about that in the 60s. Even before that, we can go back to World War II. Why do you talk about the Nazis in World War II? I get emails all the time saying, well, you shouldn't talk about that because it's irrelevant. No, it's not. It is that very doctrine of the Nazi ideologies, which, by the way, you think that the Nazi ideology and communism are sworn mortal enemies. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. No, they've got a lot in common, just as the Sunnis and Shias have a lot in common in the larger sense of the word. But no, people can't see that. They want to dwell on this division. Yeah, the division's there, but it's minor compared to their long game objective. So when we were at one point a morally and virtuous people, our children were once taught in their home, where there existed a biblically defined family of one husband, one wife. No, not Steve not Steve and Rob. No, no, no. I'm talking about Adam and Eve, okay? I'm talking about the nuclear family, the biblical family, the Bible has defined in the family, one husband, one wife. Under that stable and natural environment, did we grow? Did we have the hand of protection? Did our children, were our children raised with a sense of moral and ethical and spiritual stability? When we lost that, you see, they had to attack that. The globalists had to attack that stability. That's what we're talking about. And you see, at the same time, the wife was drug out of their home through the attack on the middle class because we couldn't make it on one income anymore. So she was forced to go to work, and this, of course, during the war as well, to help the war effort. War is good for a number of things, including getting the mother out of the home. So there goes homeschools. We'll put them in the government schools, public schools, otherwise known as. So we're going to kill the doctrine of the government schools, or kill the doctrine of the homeschooling, and force this government indoctrination. This is, if you take this apart, you follow it back to what happened, this is how it happened. And all the people from Dewey, with the public schools and the school system, and Johnson, and with his 501c3. But the bottom line is, no one did a doggone thing. See, passivity and freedom and spirituality, they cannot coexist. You need to have to be active . And you need to look after your freedoms. You need to fight for your freedoms. We cannot, and this is why we can talk about Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders all day long. We know they're the enemy. Huma Abedin, we know that she is the enemy, basically. The enemy of our freedoms, the enemy of our rights, the enemy of our spirituality. We know that. But see, everyone's putting their money on people like Trump and Cruz and these establishment, or these Republicans, or these so-called conservatives. They're not, are they really conservative? If they were conservative, they'd stand up and they'd say, look, I am not going to allow abortion. I am not going to allow homosexual marriage. The law of the land is not what the Supreme Court says. Folks, study civics, study history, study the Constitution. In fact, during the 19th century, before you became a senator, you had to study to take 2 years and study the Constitution, or else you didn't get in to the Senate. That was an unwritten rule. Oh, don't send me an email saying, well, there's nothing that says that. No, you spent 2 years. So, understand the Constitution. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say the judiciary can make laws. That's the fallacy of judicial supremacy. So understand this. Judicial supremacy does not exist. It is a myth by the progressive left, by the Marxists who want to take over this country. How many times do we have to get into this? The bottom line is, you've been fed a lie. We've all been hoodwinked in this. And abortion and homosexual sodomite marriages and homosexual sodomite unions, it's all part of the lie. And more is coming. And the language that Joe talked about is to normalize this and is to diffuse. Oh, we can't say words like terminate. No, no. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we just say murder.
No, we can't say words like person.
So what are they?
Or child.
A clump of cells.
A fetus, they are. Because Hillary Clinton, her statement was, unborn person has no constitutional rights.
Yeah, well.
And in doing so, she angered many pro-choice people by referring to them as persons.
Of course.
Rather than fetuses. Saying the word persons gives them some sort of rights associated to
that. I've got the exact transcript here, and I took out the ums and ahs. People think I stutter a lot. Well, yeah, try to dissect that little transcript. Look, here's what she said. Well, under our laws currently, that is, well, let me go back to Todd, because you read Todd's question, right? Chuck Todd, or, you know, was it Chuck Todd? The guy from Meet the Press, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, well, here's a response.
Sunday.
It was a 10-word question. That's all. When and if is, where the heck is it now? When and if is abortion legal, right? That was the question.
The original question asked by Chuck Todd.
It was,
like,
when and if is abortion considered legal, or when and if is a child considered to be a person, I believe is the. Okay, when or if does an unborn child have constitutional rights? That's the question. Let me repeat that. It's 10 words. When or if does an unborn child have constitutional rights? Here's her answer. Clinton. Well, under our laws currently, that is not something that exists. Really? Okay, so we could tell that she studied the Constitution. The unborn person, and I'm quoting now, minus the stuttering and ooms and ahs, the unborn person does not have constitutional rights. And then there's talk about other crap, and then she says, but it does not include sacrificing the woman's right to make decisions. And I think that's an important distinction under Roe v. Wade that we have enshrined under our Constitution. I can see about 10 things wrong with that. I can see about 10 things wrong with that statement. I might repeat that accidentally up there.
You should put an asterisk. And Eric, feel free to chime in and state that. Only leave the.
I can't say that.
Leave the nice word out.
No, man. But see, but
no, they say that the abort a child is medically inaccurate, as the fetus is not yet a child. The guide reads: terminate a pregnancy is commonly used. However, some prefer to avoid this, as terminate may have negative connotations.
Of course it does. Death always does.
This guidebook advises against the terms baby, dead fetus, unborn baby, or unborn child when discussing what it is that is being aborted. Instead, it recommends the terms embryo, fetus, and even pregnancy is okay.
Well, look, everyone needs to have a working knowledge of how our country was established as a representative republic, and at least a basic understanding of the legal framework under which we operate, which is the United States Constitution. And if you did, and if we did, then this country would if people had knew and understood the Constitution, then they wouldn't settle for the BS at airports with the TSA. They wouldn't settle for this Supreme Court BS where they can decide law. You know, the Supreme Court, as it was set up, can only decide between the arguing parties before it. And of course, we call that the law of the land. And that's total incorrect. It is not the law of the land. Quit saying abortion is the law of the land. Quit saying that we need to repeal Roe v. Wade. No, you know what we need to do? We need to enforce the Constitution and understand Roe v. Wade was never, never made law. Because if that's the case, then Dred Scott would still be in operation. And blacks would be 2/3 of a person. Then we'll go back to that. Quit changing the rules on us. Or start following the rules, maybe. That's what we need to do, because assaults on the fundamental truths is what people don't want, getting us in trouble. And assaults against the fundamental truths, especially against the Constitution, are concurrent with the assaults against the nuclear family, are concurrent against assaults with our spirituality, and understand that each and every one of us, if you are above 50 years old, you have been not only gained, but you've got the responsibility now to say no. And why 50? Because you're old enough to understand that we are in a world of hurt. And we have been lied to so much, and you've gone through 9/11, and before that, you at least have a rudimentary understanding of the witness to Vietnam and such, or at least the after effects thereof. So understand that we have to change things right now for the country's sake, but everyone spiritually needs to undergo a change. And part of that spiritual change and morality, you know, which was once taught at home while the founding documents were studied, where the founding documents were studied and where they were explained, if not at home, then definitely in schools at that time. Both venues have been under severe and consistent and sustained attack. And we need, well, since the beginning of the 20th century anyway. And it's for good reason. Again, this is a means to an end. So examples where our spiritual and moral values have been attacked is the abortion issue, and of course the homosexual marriage issue. Neither one are legal. Neither one are the law of the land. And if that sounds like intolerant discussion, then call me intolerant, because I believe we have a problem not of intolerance, but of tolerance. We tolerate evil. That is evil. The Bible says it is wrong, and any law that goes against God's law is no law at all. That's been established. And any law that is antithetical to the Constitution of the United States is no law. And the Supreme Court does not make law. Congress makes laws. So stop saying it's legal. Stop saying it's a law of the land. It's not. And even if you want to stretch it, it's the right of the, it's the duty and the right of the states to decide. It's not it's not a federal issue. There's no command. By the way, and people want to argue this. Oh, well, the Constitution, you know, Fourth Amendment. There's no abortion rights, women's rights. That's just hokey pokey, Tavistockian nonsense. Stop. And somebody ought to get on Fox News, because they're supposedly the conservative bastion of truth, right? Bastion of conservative truth. Well, I got another name for it. Somebody ought to have the guts, the intestinal fortitude, the cojones to get on Fox News and to tell those babbling bobbleheads of bluster that, look, no, you're asking the wrong questions. And we are asking the wrong questions of our so-called leaders and politicians. We need to say, since when did judicial supremacy take over this country? Since when does the Supreme Court make a law? Congress makes the laws, not the Supreme Court.
Never mind.
So there it is.
Never mind.
So that's just to start off. Now you want to go and you want to watch the primaries and get entranced by the trinkets, by the shining objects, by the numbers, by those little numbers that fly up and down on the screen about the go ahead, do that. By the way, Ted Cruz, as far as I'm concerned, you want to look. I know George W. Bush has said, I don't like that man, that guy. I believe those were his words, Ted Cruz. In fact, he put him on the gave him a position on the FTC. Yeah, well, he worked. Look, Cruz has a lot of ties to the Bush family. You want an establishment Republican? Just elect Cruz. You want a globalist? Put Cruz in there. You want somebody who's going to bow to the Council on Foreign Relations and the globalists and enforce NAFTA and GATT and the TPP? That Cruz is your guy. He's bought up by the bankers. Trump, look, I don't know. Is he good? Is he bad? I don't know. But ask him the questions. Ask him the right questions. Somebody have the guts to ask him and say, what would you do? What about this massive kill-off of the unborn? What are you going to do about it? How do you feel about it? Let's ask. I don't care if you wear boxers or briefs. I don't care what you take in your coffee. Let's quit softballing these people and ask them hard questions.
There's an interesting article came out yesterday about Ted Cruz. I'm going to have to find it now. I don't know where it went. It talked about, it was Hell's Dells. It was the headline on Drudge yesterday.
Right.
And it dealt with Cruz and the Republicans stealing away delegates from Trump.
And it's all about Wisconsin, yeah.
And the way that the title was worded reminded me of sounded like Cruz almost made a deal with the devil to get the nomination, and that was just my interpretation of the way the headline was written. But it goes, you know, as you said today, Rens Priebus, the head of the Republican Party, went on to say that the party chooses the nominee, not the voters. And I want to Eric, I'm going to send you a clip. It's a 20-second clip of, or maybe not, it's maybe shorter than that, of Ted Cruz. And this is what he said during a Senate resolution hearing about immigration and about bringing in foreign workers with specialty workers, foreign workers with a trade. He said he wanted to increase those workers. This is from an executive business meeting on S-744, the Border Security, Economic Opportunity, and Immigration Modernization Act. I'm going to see if we can't play this on air, because this is, I thought, rather stunning. He called for the amount of Middle Eastern immigrants into America from 680-some thousand to double that, and he called for a 500% increase in foreign workers to be brought over here to take American jobs. I just sent that out to you, Eric. If you get it, we can try and play it anytime. And if you don't receive it via email, we'll figure something out during the break. But I'm going to hit this article in the meantime. This is from Skywatch. They took an article off of biometricupdate.com. Survey says biometrics and banking on verge of becoming mainstream. We talked about this yesterday with John Reagan, author of The Financial State of the Union, his website, thefinancialstateoftheunion.com. According to a recent Moneyform survey, the use of biometrics in banking and payment systems is on the verge of becoming mainstream. The survey notes that major technological advances and economies of scale have enabled biometrics to gain strong momentum as a secure authentication factor to verify a customer's identity in the areas of mobile banking and payment. The report argues that over the last two decades, the technology has steadily proven its credibility in this market, attracting the strong interest of a number of global business players. The report states, the vast majority of banks intend to implement biometrics in the relatively near future, just as the number of handset manufacturers planning to integrate biometric capabilities into their devices rises. The report also notes, and current market forecasts are extremely optimistic, projecting that by 2017 there will be over 1 billion users accessing banking services through biometric systems. The report also found that historic concerns about biometrics with regard to accuracy and price are no longer so pressing. Other concerns, like security, however, are still there. The report notes that for biometrics to succeed, it must be used in combination with secure technologies and storage for processing. The survey results have now been published by Moneyform as a free white paper, which explores the suitability of biometrics as a method for identification, authentication, and authorization. It concludes clearly the existing business potential in mobile banking and payment. The report that when technology is combined with mobile biometrics will offer considerable benefits, especially with regard to user experience. According to the report, it brings added value to other financial services such as Know Your Customer, e-contracting, insurance, and more. The survey also confirms growing positive reception of technologies by consumers. In addition to offering convenience for customers, more mobile security features will be added, and the coolness factor of biometric usage on smartphones is enabling the technology to gain larger user acceptance even across a range of different age groups. It goes on to say that the survey, with 235 respondents from Europe and North America and the Middle East, 59% of the respondents worked for banks and other financial institutions, while 32% were from solution providers.
So what does this mean? I mean, we can
a growing acceptance of biometrics.
So okay,
in not only financial sectors but in identification, such as driver's license, being able to unlock your front door. When it comes to doing just about every kind of transaction in human society that we do, we would not rely on documents or papers. We would rely on iris scans, fingerprints, those kind of indicators or validation points, rather than a social security card and a birth certificate. It would be our fingerprint and our iris scan.
Right. So we're going to be forced into this. It's interesting because I had a run out today and with my wife, and we had to stop at one of the big box stores there, you know, and does your card have a chip in it? You know, your credit card. That's the question. Everything's going to this biometric, this whole biometric stuff. And I guess the summary, the real important, the takeaway from all of this is what? Well, they're pushing this biometric agenda down our throats, and we will not be able to buy, sell, trade. We won't be able to exist. You heard John Reagan last night get into that topic. We're not going to be able to do anything without the, ultimately without having the mark. And that's of course at that time. And we're going to be monitored. We're being monitored by our own appliances, and people say, oh, come on. I've got a smart television, a smart refrigerator, a smart this or smart that, smart phone, and they're monitoring me. Why would they monitor me? And I love this one. Well, I've got nothing to hide. Okay? You just don't get it. I mean, I can't believe people are you telling me you're that ignorant? Those people say, I've got nothing to hide. So okay. So throw away the Constitution. Throw away... well, just don't use your brain, apparently. You're not using your brain when I got nothing to hide. And if you feel insulted by that, then you probably should be. All right. That's all I got to say. But, anyway. Yeah. So the bottom line with this is what? We're going to be pushed into this Borg. That's it.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
So there you have it.
This okay. is the way new payment systems are being set up, as I said, along with how to identify yourself in the business world, in the world of interactions, of buying and selling. So
yeah.
There's no way around it.
Well, I can spend a couple of minutes on this.
We have the clip of Ted Cruz ready whenever, too.
All right. Let's since we're on that, let's go with Cruz. How long is that clip?
It's like 20 seconds.
Oh, that's it? All right, let's hear what Teddy says. Teddy the Canadian says.
We should expand legal immigration, reduce the barriers, reduce the waiting periods, and I've introduced two amendments to significantly expand legal immigration, to double the caps on legal immigration from 675,000 to 1.3 million, and to increase temporary high-skilled workers by 500%.
Date and venue from that. Who was he talking to, and when was that?
That was the, as I said before, to pull it up here, is the Senate resolution hearing. Okay, it was an executive business meeting on S-744, the Border Security Economic Opportunity and Immigration Modernization Act.
All right, so when was that?
I do not know.
What was it, this year, last year, 10 years
ago?
I'm
not sure. Not sure.
It was okay.
He was a senator.
All right. Well.
So it was in the last couple of years.
Okay. Well, see, he's bought and sold, basically. His wife has ties to big banks, and I've heard the excuses and the little forum posts, because these robot bloggers will come around and say, well, he's just an investment banker. It wasn't, you know, it's just, no, you've got ties and you owe money to the bankers. You are owned by the bankers. He and Cruz supports the tearing down, as you heard, of the borders and allowing people in. And of course, that is the breakdown, or multicultural breakdown. All right. But along with that, you see, we are under assault by these progressive Marxist, communist, Fabian socialists, basically. The Gap, and this is just to take us out. The Gap apologizes for ad accused of racism. The clothing company removed an innocent photo. Jones, Alex Jones from InfoWars had published this as well, where... According to a small group of outraged Twitter users, the ad, which shows four young girls, now listen to this, offensively leaning her arm on a black girl, all right? Really? And of course, they were taken to task. And I'm amazed. If I responded to every tweet or every person with an opinion that had an opinion against me, and I don't. I really don't. I don't even... I look at those for trends, but that's it. But you'd think the Gap would laugh at the people, at these people. So let me get this straight. We've got numerous problems right now, and people like a small group of our outraged people send Twitters and tweet messages and messages to the Gap saying, "Oh, we think that that's pretty racist for actually having a white girl posing with her arm on a black girl." And of course, we need black representation in the media. Right. Right. That's what we need. Because clearly, we're racist and we're bigots. Clearly, when, you know, facts hurt. I'll never forget the show we did with Colin Flaherty when he was simply reporting statistics on black crime, black on black crime, and black on white crime. That's all he was doing. I don't like his tone. I don't like his tone. You're racist for having him on. I can't believe I'm never going to listen to you again. Oh, man. This is where we stand. This is the distraction. This is the takedown. This is the takedown of this country. This is part of the Tavistockian lie. This is part of the lie, the tactics. And you've got Trump being accused of racism by blacks, by Asian Americans, by all every group. It's just it's amazing to me. You know, just getting back to this abortion deal, I really want you might accuse us of racism. You know, the biggest number, the biggest number of victims in abortion are blacks. Did you know that? Both in this country and outside of this country.
And that's the way it was intended to be.
That's right. That's right. Margaret Sanger hated blacks. Hated anyone with an IQ under, I don't know what it was. Hated anyone with impairments. Margaret Sanger. Founder of Planned Parenthood. The truth hurts. You see, and the Center for Medical Progress being sued by Planned Parenthood, that's just a nuisance lawsuit to bankrupt these people. And I'm no stranger to those by idiots like that. Planned Parenthood, deep pockets, they're going to take Center for Medical Progress and sue them. There's no basis for that suit. In my view, knowing what I know just about the evidence. But see, in today's world, anyone can sue anyone for anything, just about. And the way to do it is just to run up the legal bills, run up the legal expenses, because you gotta fight back. Never settle with these idiots. Never. Anyway, that's what we're seeing today. So much news.
As we run up to the break at this top of the hour, we're going to come back with another hour of news followed by Stan Deo. Go to his website, standeo.com. You got any questions that you want us to ask Stan, send them to us via our website, HagmanandHagman.com, or just send them to studio at HagmanandHagman.com. Spell it all out. And we will ask as many questions as we can. This last story in the last minutes of this hour. Record cold temperatures sweep into the Northeast. Another Arctic blast is on the way. Now, before we went to Texas here in Northwest Pennsylvania, it was for about 2 weeks before we went, it was like May temperatures. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Almost up into the 70s. And we're talking, you know, for a period of 2 weeks there, it was in the low, upper 50s to low 70s, and it fluctuated. And since we got back, it's been rather cold. Well, it looks like now these record cold temperatures for early April will sweep into some Northeast and Great Lakes cities and begin this week. Sub-zero readings were even recorded near the Canadian border, northern of Michigan, and Maine, but more record cold is possible Wednesday morning in the northeast. Then the cold will become more expansive late this week due to yet another southernward dip in the jet stream, which will allow more Arctic air to push from south from Canada. So, as they say here, record cold early this week, expect it all the way down throughout Virginia, up throughout the whole northeast. It looks like, you know, everywhere from Boston to New York City to even Washington, D.C. is going to have anywhere between 20 to 35 degrees below average temperatures. Even Syracuse is set to break their record cold from 1982 on April 5th of 14 degrees. So it's going to be chilly out there for those in the Northeast. So bundle up. This is, what do they say, April showers bring May flowers? Well, we're seeing a lot of April frost so far. We'll be right back with hour number two, followed by Standeo, hour number three, on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Tuesday. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.